By way of introduction, we will do that now. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever, remember we used to have bookstores? Anybody remember old bookstores? Yeah, I don't know if we see them anymore, like the Barnes & Nobles or the, what's another one? Borders used to be a bookstore, a Christian bookstore. You'll go in there and you'll stroll through the aisles of the bookstore. Maybe you go to the Christian section and you want to go buy a Bible, and you get in there and there's like 100 translations, and you're like, which one do I pick? Maybe you haven't been there. You're like, I like King James. But if you look in there, you'll see there's dozens and dozens of different translations of the Bible. And one of my favorites, not really one of my favorites, but one I want to point out to you, is called the Woman's Bible. How many want the Woman's Bible? Amen. They got a Bible just for women. And it was written by the Christian feminist movement. And so they wrote it specifically, especially in the book of Genesis, to really sort of meet their needs, I guess you could say. I've never read it, don't intend to do so, but that's one of them. Another one is the Third Millennium Bible. They call it a modern translation of the King James Version, but it's nothing like that. There's one called the Message. The Message. It says it's a fresh translation, a paraphrase into contemporary language. And on, you can find Bibles. Anyone can think of one that you're like, man, I've heard of a new version that just came out. Anyone like that can think of one? There's a gender-neutral Bible. Ooh, that's interesting. NIV, that's an oldie but a goodie, huh? In the 60s. Yeah, but the gender-neutral. Can you imagine that? So what do they just don't, what do they call this people and person? And no he or she or, oh my. Yeah, so there's obviously an agenda behind that one, isn't there? Well, if God only authored and inspired one Bible, how can there be so many translations of the Bible? How is that even possible? And they're all claiming to be God's word, aren't they? This is God's word. This is God's word. The newest translation, the women's Bible, the gender-neutral Bible, all of them are God's word, they say. They all claim to be accurate and faithful translations of the original manuscripts. Well, the average Christian thinks modern translations such as the NIV and the ESV and the NASV and the NKJV or the New Living Translation are simply an updating of the archaic language found in the King James Version, right? Some people have that mentality, right? Just an updated, I can be able to read this, and I can understand it a lot better, and I get that to a certain degree, but it's really more complicated than that, than just simply taking a Bible and saying, you know what, this is simpler to read, that's why I like it. And you got to really look into this thing, because there's more behind the reasons why people make translations. Some people do it for profit, right? And King James is not for profit, did you know that? Right? There's no copyright on the King James Bible unless you're in like England or something like that. I think they have one on there for the next 100 years. There's a copyright or something. But there's no copyright on the King James Version of the Bible. The other ones have a copyright. And obviously money can be made off of those. Profit can be made off of those. But they think that all versions are essentially the same, but nothing can be further from the truth. And so you say, why the King James Bible? Well, we're going to make an argument to show you why the King James Version is the preferred version and the version you should stick to in your life and in your Bible studies. Now, while studying this, I've looked at several online resources. Also, have some books that I'm looking at. One of the best books is by Pastor D.A. Waite, and he really has a really good system here. So I'm going to pull a lot of information from that book. And so I just have to study this stuff. I'm not the most brilliant scholar in the world. I got to study and then give you the information that I learned. So this is what we're going to learn in this series here. We're going to determine some things about the King James Bible and why it is the preferred Bible. It should be for you. Number one, it has a superior text. And we're going to talk about this one probably next week. It has a superior text, superior translator, a superior technique of translation. The way they translated it is superior. I can't wait to get to that one because you're going to really find out. That's really what I think makes or breaks it right there. You're going to find that how they translated the King James Bible is top-notch. And there's a superior theology or the study of the nature of God in the King James Bible. So we're going to look at each and every one of those in the next several weeks. Now, in this first lesson, I want to talk to you about the preservation of God's word. We have to start there because God promised that he would preserve his word. And God's word has been preserved. Well, what does preserve mean? The definition is the act of preserving or keeping safe or sound, the act of keeping from injury or decay. And so we realize God, he did that. He kept the Bible. He's preserved the Bible for you and me for today. We have to believe that, folks, that he's done that. So I want to simply show you from Scripture how God said he would keep his word safe. So before we can dive into why the King James Version is the best for the English-speaking people, we must know that God's word has been preserved. Amen? It has been preserved. Look at Psalm 12. We're going to look at some scripture tonight. Psalm 12. I know you're already there, but I didn't get there yet. Psalm 12, verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Amen. He said, from this generation forever. He promised to preserve his word from the psalmist's generation. So when the psalmist was writing this, till when? Forever. Amen. He promised to preserve his word. You have to believe that the Bible has been preserved. If you don't believe that, then why are we here tonight? Amen. We don't believe that he's preserved his word intact and for us, then why even be here to worship the Lord? Amen. Or worship, read the word of God if we don't believe that it has been preserved. God is able to preserve his word, and he has done exactly that. We should believe that. If we can believe when we look outside that the stars are in this place, amen, the moon comes up normally when it's supposed to, and the sun rises, amen, he's kept all those things in his place. Why would he and why couldn't he preserve his word? In fact, he's got this earth spinning on an axis, amen, and I told you this before, but if the earth was even a little bit further away, we would freeze to death. And if the sun was a little bit closer to the earth, we would burn up. But God keeps everything just perfectly in the right distance, so that doesn't happen. And he's done that, amen? Surely he can preserve his word. Psalm 105. Yes. Psalm 105 and verse number 8. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Notice that. His word. His word, which he commanded to a thousand generations. Now, if a generation is, say, 30 years, I don't know. Say a generation is 30 years, times a thousand, that is 30,000 years. Now, we don't limit God, but none of us are going to live 30,000 years or anything like that, right? So God's going to preserve his word. He's promised to do it really infinitely forever. God wants us to see clearly his promise of Bible preservation. Psalm 119, please. You're going to like this. Psalm 119. Tonight, I'm going to show you from the scripture how God promised to do exactly what he's going to do here in preserving his word. Psalm 119, verse 89. Let's read this one together. I'm in the wrong place. We can't read it together. Psalm 119 and verse number 89. Yeah, I think I'm in the right place. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But I want you to notice that word it says before, lamed, right? Lamed. We don't really pay attention to that. Is that in your Bible? Does everyone have that there? Yes. And so what is that? Anyone know what that means?
The alphabet.
Hebrew alphabet. Good, good. Everyone knew that, right? And so each alphabet actually means something. Did you know that? Each letter of the alphabet, not like ours, they don't really mean anything, but the Hebrew alphabet, every letter actually has a meaning to it. And Lamed means learn, skillful, instruct, be taught, teach. Teach. Interesting, isn't it? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There can be no doubt about God's word. It is permanent. It is unconfused. Amen. No doubt about it. It is settled by God. That means it is preserved and it is kept pure. He's made it pure. God has not revealed everything to us, amen, in his word. Can anybody agree with that? Do you think God has revealed every single thing that he knows in his word? No? No, he hasn't, amen. He hasn't done that. But he's given us exactly what we need in order to live this life. There's a lot of questions I may have that you may have that actually maybe not in the Bible. You're like, man, I wanted to know, you know, where did God come from? How long has God been around, you know? I don't know if we can find exact date of God's birth or, you know, or when God came. We're not going to know that or how God came to be, right? He's just, the Bible just tells us he's just always been, right? But for us, in our mind, we think, oh, it's got to be a beginning and an end to everything. But for God, no, there is no beginning and no end. So he's given us exactly what we needed in his word for us today. Now I want to give you several verses on this word is getting me tonight. Preserving. Preservation, thank you. Preservation. I'm going to say preservation or something. Preservation. So I want to give you several verses. I'm going to have you read it if you don't mind reading a verse. And so look at Psalm 119 and verse number 11. Brother Michael, if you could read that for us, Psalm 119 and verse number 11.
Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Amen. It's a good thing to do. Amen. His word, hide it in your heart. And now let's look at verse 160, same book there. 160. We'll go to Brother Willie. Can you read that for us?
That word is true from the beginning, and everyone in thy righteousness, judgments, endured forever.
How long?
Forever.
Forever. Good. The very definition of preservation, I can't even say it. I'm going to say P or something. I can't even say the word tonight. Preservation is in that verse. The very definition of it is going to endure forever. Thy word is true from the beginning, and it's going to endure forever. Look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Go to your right. Proverbs 22. Preservation. I just got to keep saying it. It'll come out right. Preservation. All right, next reader, can we have that? Proverbs 22, 20 through 21. Sister Barbara.
Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsel and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the word of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sent unto thee.
Thank you. So he wrote things down so that we would have certainty about them. That's what God did, right? It would be hard to have certainty about things if we did not have the written word of God. You know, we just have like folk tales, right? I heard about Noah, you know, there's a story about Noah, but it's never been written down. But God wrote it down so that we could have certainty about the truth that's contained in his word. Ecclesiastes 3:14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that man should fear before him. If God has done anything or given us anything, it is perfect. Amen. If he's given us anything, you got to believe that it is perfect. It is right. And even the things that go wrong in our life, we got to believe that's God's will. Amen? God's given something to us in our life, an illness, or he's given us a bad family member or something. You know, we got to, God, you're perfect. Amen? You're perfect. I'm not going to charge you foolishly. I'm not going to say, God, hey, why'd you do this to me? And curse God or something. You know, we can't do that. Hey, God, what he does is perfect. It is perfect. Now, sometimes we bring things on our own lives. Amen? Certain issues in our own life. We're not saying that God did that to you. Maybe sometimes sin brings about problems in people in our lives. And so, but what God does, it is truly perfect. He has given us his word, therefore his word is perfect. We can't add to it or take away from it. It has been preserved exactly the way he wants it to. And so that's important too as we begin to study this series here, adding to God's word. And sometimes we'll find in some of these Bibles that are out there, they're adding to God's word. They didn't say that. They're changing the meanings of certain scripture in those versions of the Bible. So we got to be careful with that. He has preserved it the way he wants it, and we don't need to mess with it. Look at Matthew chapter number 4. Going to the New Testament. You don't mind moving around in your Bible, do you? Everybody okay? You okay? Good, good. Matthew chapter 4. All right, next reader, who wants to read? Anybody in the back row want to read Matthew 4:4? You don't have to. Sister? Amen. And that's sun is shining on you there. So we're to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. If his word has not been preserved, then how can we live by every, you know, live in that manner? How can we? Why? His word has to be preserved in order for that to happen, right? If we're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You and I speak English, and we may not know Greek or Hebrew. Anybody in here that know some Greek or Hebrew? Okay. Well, you don't speak the language. There are some people that go to school and learn it and different things like that. So how will we know God's word unless he has preserved it to this present day? We believe he has accurately translated it in the King James Version. Matthew, are you still in Matthew? Go to chapter 5. This is interesting. I like this part. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 17, and let's get a reader for that. 17 and 18. Mrs. Graves? Oh, go ahead, Bryce. Amen. Amen. So a jot is like an apostrophe or a comma. Okay? And then I want you to look at what we're going to talk about, what a tittle is too. And so look at Psalm 119. Look at verse number 9. And we see the alphabet there again. You see that, is everyone there? Psalm 119, verse number 9, it says Beth. That's a letter in the alphabet. And he has that little, that symbol that's right next to it. And at the bottom of that little symbol to the right is what we call a tittle. That's a tittle. It's hard to see, but it kind of extends a little bit to the right, that little logo there. Does everyone have that in their Bible? Some people may not have the alphabet. Okay, everyone? Yes, you see that? Right. And so the whole thing is actually not a tittle. It's just the part that's to the right is actually a tittle. It's interesting, isn't it? So in thinking that in mind, let's read that verse again. Verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth and pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The Lord believes in Bible, I don't even want to say the word right now, I'm probably going to mess it up, preservation. He believes in Bible preservation all the way down to the little punctuation, to the top, the jot and the tittle. That's how specific God is about his word. I mean, everything is his word. And he's going to preserve every single thing. Okay? Even the punctuation. The alphabet. Every single thing will be preserved. Not only the ideas and thoughts of the Bible, but the literal words, the letters, the punctuation written in the Bible will be preserved, he said. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You didn't know all this was in there, did you, about preservation of the Bible? Can you think of anything more stable than the heaven and the earth? And we think of that as a stable thing, right? Heaven and earth, right? But he's saying those things are going to go away. But my word will be forever. I'm going to get rid of the earth. I'm going to get rid of the heavens. But my word will stand. My word will always be here. And it will be preserved. Isn't that amazing to think of? How great God is and how important his word is. It's more important than heaven. You ever thought of that? That's how he upholds the law. That's how he upholds the word of God. It's so important to him. It's more settled, it's more preserved than the earth and the heaven. Go to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. I'm going to give you a great example of Bible preservation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23. And Mrs. Graves, you can read that for us, 23 through 25. Amen. That's Bible preservation right there. That is God preserving his word. It cannot be corrupted. It will not be decayed. It will not be corroded like our bodies will be one day. When we die and are put into the earth, our bodies see corruption. They are decayed and vanished away into the dust, but the words of God are incorruptible. They will not die like the bodies will die. God's word will stand forever. Amen. I love that song. God's word will stand. We have the CD now. We're singing that. And because it will stand forever. There's nothing going to take God's word away. They live and abide forever. That is a promise of God's preservation. His word will live and abide forever. Forever. It is not like this flower, amen, that I picked from our flowers out front, right? What is this flower currently doing? It's dead. I mean, basically, it's dying or it's dead. It's withering away. God's word don't wither away and die like this. This thing has a life cycle. They look beautiful when they bloom, amen, don't they? Whew, looks so beautiful around here. But shortly thereafter, it's like, they're gone. They wither and they die and they decay. God promised you, my word, the word of God is not like a flower. It's talking about grass in this verse. You know how grass withers and dies, but I thought I'd bring you flowers. You can see, hey, the flowers like the grass, it will wither and die, but God's word will not. Amen? God will preserve his exact Bible words right down to the present. Now, Romans chapter number 4, please. Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4, looking at verse number 20. Romans chapter 4, verse number 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now I'm going to transition into basically this. If God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. If he promises something, you got to believe he's going to keep that promise. He's able to perform it. Bible preservation is so important. How many of you believe when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it? Amen? You got to believe that. If he says the moon's going to come up, the moon's going to come up. If he says he's going to preserve his word, he's going to preserve his word. What God says he will do. It's not like me. You can't trust me, or we can't trust each other sometimes, you know. Or like a dad, when dad promises to go get the daughter some ice cream one day, but then he has to work late or something, and he can't take the daughter to get the ice cream. He broke his promise. And he finally sees the daughter, right, and says, and she comes up to dad, and her eyes are all filled with tears. Dad, you promised. You promised to give me ice cream. I'm so sorry, sweetie. I had to work, or I forgot. We don't get that with God, amen? We don't get the ice cream story, right? If he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. You can take it to the bank. You can bet your bottom dollar. Is that what they say in Annie? Right? You can just take that to the bank. Cash it. It's a check you can cash. God says he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Hebrews chapter number 6, verse 18. Here it is. It says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The Bible tells that it is impossible for God to lie. Maybe you didn't believe me. Titus 1:2 tells us the same. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. It is literally impossible for God to lie. It's not in his character. Amen? Because if he lied, it'd be a sin. Amen? So if he promised to preserve his word, he's going to do it. Now look at John chapter 14, please. Yes. So I'm trying to build a foundation here as we start talking about the specifics of the King James. John 14, verse number 6. Brother Michael, can you read that for us?
Verse 6?
Yes.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
So Jesus said he's the truth. He's the truth. Now I want to compare that to another verse. So Jesus his person is the truth. Now look at chapter 17. And what does he say is the truth in chapter 17 and verse number 17? All right, read that for us, Brother Willie. 17:17. Amen. So what's true in that verse? What's truth?
Jesus
Brother Willie? What's he saying is true?
The Word.
The Word. And in the prior verse, he said that he was true. So Jesus is true. His Word is truth. Amen? And I like how they kind of correlate that, really. So we got a God who cannot err. It is impossible for him to make an error. And that's what inerrant means, right? Impossible to make an error. So God, Jesus, cannot make any errors. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And you can take this to any part of your life, right? God's faithful. He promised. He said he's faithful to do something. He will do it. Amen. And that's why quoting Bible promises back to God is helpful. If you're struggling with something in your life, and God promised it in his word, you can do like the little girl with the ice cream said, you promised. You promised you would heal me. You promised you would take care of my family. You promised you would protect me. You promised me that you would. Amen. Why not quote it back? We can trust him. So how does Bible preservation relate to the King James Version? Bottom line, I believe that the King James Bible is the best Bible for the English-speaking people, and it has been preserved in English. Our King James Bible accurately preserves and accurately translates the proper Hebrew and Greek words in the English language, those divinely preserved words. And so as we said earlier, we're going to cover really a few topics. And number one, the superiority of the King James Bible, the original language, that is the Hebrew and Greek on which it is based, it is superior to any other translation. Number two, the superiority of the translators of the King James Bible. They were truly men of God, and they were scholars. And what we'll find later in our study is that many of the people that are translating the Bibles today, the Bibles, they're not scholars. They're just like, so one is just a lady, I think, translating the NIV by herself in some room. I mean, how can we trust, you know, if you go do that in a room by yourself? But you'll find the King James Version, multiple people verified, and they passed it on, and there was verification, and they came back, and they came back to the other side. It's called a round robin, and they found out everybody has to agree on one word, and then we pass it on and keep doing it and keep doing it. That's how you translate the Bible, amen? And if everybody's in agreement, and sometimes they'd have to send the text off to other places and different things, like it had to go by mail or what, a courier, and it had to come back days later or whatever, and they had to verify, was this correct? Okay, it said jot, tittle, is that correct in the Hebrew? You know, they would have to do that. So it was the way they translated was just immaculate. Then we find the superiority of the technique to translate the King James Bible, a little bit I just talked about right now. And it is different from other versions. They haven't used the same technique. So we'll talk about that. And the superiority of the theology of the King James Bible. We're going to cover all these four categories in the next several weeks. So be here, amen, and try to be here for every single lesson. Don't miss any if you can help it. And so we'll have a good time studying this, amen. I hope this was helpful to kind of launch you a little bit into this study as we study why the King James Bible.